Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah, Lord, I thank you for forgiving me over and over again. Yeah, I'm calling on you, Heavenly Father. I'm down on my knees. Say, call on you no matter the hour. Lord, I'm in need. I've been messing up, done lost my house, done lost my job. Wife walking out. These church folks say they my friends, but I'm all they talk about. I've been doing wrong, I'm so sorry. Lord, please forgive me. We confess to Him, He'll remove all wickedness. The blood from your Son will wash me from my sins. Clean this house from the inside out. Restore me. Take away my
business doing it, no church or no Bible study ain't been in my word. Now I know better than this, can't live my life in sin.
We confess to Him, He'll remove all wickedness. The blood from your Son will wash me from my sins. Clean this house.
realize that you are a miracle in motion. Let me tell you something. You have to understand, when God created you, he saw his word in motion. And he looked at it, and you know what he said? It is good. There are people hurting, sad, in despair, broken, abused, and a lot of it has to do with them not being able to forgive. I want to share a personal testimony with you about forgiveness, and it all happened when my own mother was murdered. You know, earlier today I was thinking, right before the broadcast, what was I going to say tonight that would impact people's lives and change the dynamics of their lives forever? What could I possibly say that would help them to recalibrate the way they think and reposition themselves, you know, create new habits for themselves? Oh, we got a good show for you tonight. I'm excited tonight. I'm excited about what God is doing in this season. How many of you have been watching and looking to see God do some phenomenal things? Let me give you some sound advice. Here's some sound advice. Don't let your soul veer into another man's soul. Because when you allow your soul to veer into somebody else's soul, then you begin to perpetrate their lies. It's time for people to grow up. Can you just grow up? Can you be what God called you to be? I mean, listen, you were created in his image. I mean, he gave you his propensities, his intellect, his likeness, and here you are, you're trying to be somebody you're not. Can you just be your God self and let everybody else be who they're supposed to be? Typically, people are afraid to believe in God. And the reason is they can't see him. And so they look for tangible representation of things that would take his place. But I want to tell you tonight, can't nothing take the place of my God. In your belly is life. And that life, I'll give you an analogy, it's like a dripping faucet. And periodically it goes drip, drip, drip. As God begins to unfold your life. And the more you mature, when spiritual maturation comes, then you know what happens? The faucet is turned on full force. And then the life, the living waters of Jesus Christ comes to the surface. How many of you believe that your life has value? How many of you believe that you are tangible? How many of you believe that God knew exactly what he was doing when he made you? God made you on purpose and put purpose in you. So why then do you not live in purpose? I feel the Holy Ghost now. It's getting hot in here. I thank God for being alive. I thank God for this opportunity. I thank God for our listening audience. I thank God that we are growing up right before his eyes. And I believe one day we'll all come to a certain place that we can say, I am somebody in Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen?
Welcome to the show, Abiding in the Tripartite, with your host, Dr. D. Greathouse.
Good evening. This is your host, Dr. D. Greathouse. Happy Thursday to you. I pray that all is well with you and your household, as it is with me and my household.
We got some cold weather here in Atlanta. I'd like to welcome all of you from our listening audience, those of you who have called in live to the studio, and those of you who are streaming, you on Facebook, you got your iPads on, and you're doing great things all around the world. We appreciate our listening audience. We thank God for each and every one of you for tuning in to us. I know you could be watching a lot of stuff on TV tonight, but I thank God for you that you have joined us here once again this week with Abiding in the Tripartite. Here at Abiding in the Tripartite, we are committed to bringing you the listening audience guests who inspire and empower those who are doing great things to make our world a better place. And they try to come in to do impartation for each of us so we can be the best in who we were created to be in God, both spiritually, our spirits, our soul, and of course, our bodies. Which brings us to our guest co-host tonight, Miss Evelyn Lumpkin, our lifestyle consultant, and she's a health educator and also a medical missionary. She resides here in Atlanta. I often see her as we go in and work out to try to strengthen and tone our bodies and keep ourselves in a good place. And she's going to spend some time with us tonight talking about our body and wellness. She is an advocate of health and wellness. She has been practicing this lifestyle for over 35 years. She believes that God wants the body to be healthy and well. She has authored two vegetarian cookbooks, and she's the founder. She founded Abundant Life Health Association in 1988. And so I call her my sister Battlefield, as I am every day. I'm trying to make an impact in the world for God's kingdom. And it's hard to make an impact when people's lives are not in sync with the Word of God. And that includes our health. And so she's going to, I'm going to yield the floor to her in a little bit. But before I bring her forward, I just want to thank each of you who have been supporting the ministry work, buying the book and the CD. It's being sold everywhere. Books are sold. You can get it at Barnes & Noble's Books A Million, your local Christian bookstore. If you go to the bookstore and they don't have it, just ask them to order it for you, and your order will be fulfilled. Amazon has it. Our website has it, thegreathouseministries.com. You can go there as well and purchase it and some other items that we have there. If you need to reach us, you can email us at info@thegreathouseministries.com, and the ministry phone number is 855-334-7316. Again, we appreciate you because what you do, and when you go in and support the ministry, that gives us other platforms that we can utilize. If you are available and you're in the Atlanta area, I will be a keynote speaker on Saturday morning at 11 at Ronald Bridges Park Community Center in Fulton County. You can Google it. I don't have the address right now, but if you will email me, I'll be more than happy to get it to you. Again, our ministry email address is info@thegreathouseministries.com. I hope you're staying warm out there. Please keep those in mind. Check on the seniors that are around you. Check on the children. Make sure folks that you know have appropriate blankets, coats for the children that are standing at the bus stops. This is the time we should be concerned about not just ourselves, but other people. Continue to pray and lift up our nation and the nations around the world. And these are perilous times that we're living in, and people are looking for answers. But I want to tell you, as you probably already know, and those of you who are new to the broadcast, the best answer is going to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he can tell you all the way from start to finish what is necessary for you to do to make a difference and an impact. in our world today. Now, with that said, what I'm going to do, I keep hearing a chime. I don't know why I'm hearing this chime, but what I'm going to do is at this time, I'm going to bring our co-host on. And let me get her here. Ms. Lumpkin, are you there?
Yes, Ms. Gray Hosh, I'm here.
All right, all right. Welcome to the show, my sister.
Pleasure
I call
to
her
be
Evelyn.
On the show.
And I want to just tell you, I'm going to give you the reins. I'll let you go ahead and do your own introduction. But before I do that, I wanted to bring you forward so I could do my prayer. And then I'm going to turn the reins over to you and let you have time to speak to the listening audience and encourage us. I'll be taking notes. And when you finish your presentation, you and I can have a little dialogue. And if our listening audience would like to, they can ask you questions. We always leave room for them to ask questions. Some folks come in the middle of the broadcast, so you may have to do a brief summarization at the conclusion. But at this time, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to come back and let you have it and let you talk and do what you do best. I mean, you can explain to them how you travel all over teaching health and wellness to God's people. Yes. Father God, we thank you now. We thank you for the liberty, God, as you always give us to come in and to do your will and to, God, to work under the auspices of the Holy Spirit, God. We thank you for your son, Jesus. He already paid the supreme sacrifice for us. He died as our propitiation so we could live and have eternal life. And God, while we're here and pilgrims in this land, God, we thank you that you're with us through your spirit, the Holy Spirit. But God, that we would listen to you even in these times. People are finding sickness in their bodies. They're being diagnosed with all kinds of diseases. I was listening to the news today, and something happened, and now they have another viral thing that's going on in our society. When they went down in people's throat using the device that they used to do the endoscopies, and that bacteria apparently was left on the device, and they have like over 100 and something folks now infected with a deadly virus. But God, you know all things. And we know that you're a healer. You made these vessels to even heal themselves. But God, what have we put into these vessels? There's toxic things in even the food that we digest. But we ask you to give us wisdom tonight and let us use it, God. Use it to edify these bodies that you have assigned to us, that we may be fruitful, we may multiply, and God, that we may live a life that is healthy and well, so we can be about your business, because it's all about the kingdom. So we thank you now for what will be said. Let us hide the word in our hearts. Let that seed go into good ground, germinate, and produce fruit. And let us multiply and do your desire and your will. We thank you for blessing all the people who are listening in, who are streaming. God, I thank you for them. I thank you for the great work that you're doing in our lives and through our lives. Oh, God, I thank you for such an incredible life you have given to me. I will continue to praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen, and amen. All right, Ms. Lumpkin. I won't tease you about how you holler when you're doing your sit-ups at the gym. I'll leave that for you to talk about, but I'm going to yield the line to you. I'm going to actually go on mute unless you have a question for me at this time.
No, I don't have a question at this time.
All right, I'm going to go on mute, and I'm going to let you have our listening audience. We're about 35,000 strong now. So... You get to tell them what God has given you, all right? And I'll come back a little bit later.
All right.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Greyhouse, and welcome. It's a pleasure for me to be with you this afternoon. And we're going to talk a little bit about nutrition and heart disease. This is Heart Month. I thought I'd add a little something in about the heart. As we talk about nutrition, when I was back at my early life, way back, I didn't want to hear anything about nutrition. because I thought I was limited to what I can eat. I thought that time, but now I know that I'm not limited to anything that I want to eat. Because when God created man, he had already provided a diet for him before man came. So God knew exactly what he wanted us to have in our bodies, to have strong, healthy bodies. But as time passed, we thought that God's diet wasn't the best diet, and we chose a diet of our own. And when we chose that diet, that's when our body started deteriorating. But if we go back to the natural source of what God actually planned for us to put in our body to have strong, healthy, physical, mentally, and spiritual body, then we will have those strong, healthy, physical, spiritual bodies. God say, put nuts, grains, fruits, and vegetables into your body. Those are the requirements that he gave us. But he allowed us to have other things. But it wasn't the best for our body, but he's allowed us to have it. So when I first started talking about health and nutrition, I picked up every book that I could find that talks about health and nutrition. I went to the library. I went on the internet. Everywhere that I could find something about health to better take care of my body, I did that, Dr. Greyhouse. But it wasn't until I picked up the Holy Word. And when I picked up the Holy Word, I flipped to Exodus 15:26. And it goes to say that if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and do that which is right in his sight, he would not let any disease come upon me that had come upon the Egyptian. And when I read that, I wanted to know what disease that the Egyptian had that I could be exempt from. So then, Dr. Greyhouse, you know I had to do some research then. I found out that they had the same disease in the biblical days that we have today. In those days, they didn't have a Grady Hospital or a Piedmont Hospital or a Georgia Baptist Hospital that they could go to. All their diagnosis was in the blood. The word said the life is in the blood. Even when we go to the hospital now, the blood has to be drawn, taken to the lab, and then sent back to the doctor, and he can read the blood and tell what's going on with the body, and then he can prescribe medication. But in those days, back in the biblical days, they used herbs for their medicine. Herbs was for the healing of the nation. The same potent power that was in those herbs back then, it still remains in the herbs today. Now, some may say because the earth don't have all the nutrients that it had back in those days. But when God made it for us, he preserved it for us. So if we do what he asks us to do with the best that we have, I believe that God will heal these bodies of ours. When he made these bodies, he gave us all cells and all tissues. In the body, those things that we put in our body that we call food, it destroys those cells and those tissues. Food is energy for the body, and you have to have energy in order for the body to function properly. But we give our body stuff that I call food stuff. It's not really food, it's food stuff. If it's packaged in a box, in a container, with a lot of preservatives in it, it is food stuff. We should try to eat our food as close to nature as possible. It would be well if we all had gardens, but I know that's not true, that we don't all have gardens. And in some places, it's impossible for all of us to have gardens. And then even in other places, it's impossible to grow a garden anywhere. And it's illegal to grow gardens in some places. But if we can get our food as close to nature as possible, I believe God considers that as perfect. Now, I don't believe in eating foods that have no food substance when you can do better. But if you cannot do any better, yes, go on and eat it. It's just like water. I believe in drinking the best water that it is. Some people ask me, what type of water shall I drink, Ms. Lumpkin? I tell them water, wet water. Just make sure you get water into your body. Same way about food. We have a lot of food going into our body on a daily basis, but it's not nursing our bodies. It's not nursing our cells. It causes all kind of disease, like heart disease, stroke, cancer, and yet we say we don't know where these things come from. Despite all the medical advice that we have, America is still one of the sickest nations on the planet, and they reign 29th in longevity, but yet we say that we're rich, but we're dying early, premature. Heart disease continues to be the leading cause of death, both among men and women in the United States. Now, remember, that's United States. That is not worldwide statistics. That's just United States statistics. Every year, about 720,000 Americans will have a heart attack. And nearly 850 of those people with heart attack will die. But yet we continue to put things in our body and destroy our body that we know is not good for our body. Now, we know that the heart increases with cigarette smoking. We know that. And we know that it caused cancer, or it has been said to cause cancer. We know that obesity is a major risk factor in heart disease. We know that up to one-third of cancer in the United States are related to being overweight, inactive, and poor nutrition. We know too much animal fat. I'm back to nutrition again. We know that too much animal fat in our diet can and will clot our artery, but yet we refuse to cut down on fat. Animal fat, natural fat, or whatever kind of fat it is, we need to cut back on our fats. If you're cooking with oil, buy the best oil that you can. I don't like to tell people what kind of oil to buy because I don't know their financial status. But buy the best that you can. And when you buy the best that you can, then cut back. If you're using one drop, two drops of oil today, try to cut it back to one drop because all oils, absolutely all oils, is 100% fat. And when the body sees fat, it sees fat as fat. There are some other fats that are natural that you can use. Avocado is one of the best types of fats. You have fats in your nuts, but eat your nuts in moderation. I would recommend that you soak your nuts before eating. But if you can't do that, just eat your nuts and eat the best that you can. That's what I say, eat the best that you can. When you do your best, I always repeat, God does the rest when you do your best. We can exist for a little while without food. We cannot exist very long without air. We can exist a little while without water, but we cannot exist very long without air. So we need to get the exercise and incorporate that air in our bodies every day. All day long. Sometimes we go to the gym, which is all good and well. I do myself. But we need to get outside. It never gets too cold to get outside. I guess some people listen in and say, where does she live at if she never gets too cold to get outside? Well, if it don't get too cold for you to wake up, it don't get too cold to get outside. Just for a few minutes every day and get some oxygen into that body. And eliminate those dead cells and stored oxygenated blood and those poisons that have been working on you so long. Just cast them out in the air and let God take care of them. The other thing we need to do to balance our nutrition out is to get some rest. We work from day up, sun up to sundown, 7 days a week. The Creator is not pleased with that. He himself rests on the Sabbath day, and he asked us to also rest too. We should be getting to bed at least by 10 o'clock or before 10 and sleeping by 10. The brain cell does its best work between the hours of 10 and 2. You can go to bed and sleep between 10 and 2, and you can dream all those crazy things, and you won't remember one of them when you get up in the morning. But if you go to bed after that time, the bad boys be running behind you all night long. You be trying to get away from it, and you can remember everything you dream if you go to bed after 2 o'clock. So let's just try to go to bed early. and do some good things for our body. I was reading one book. It says disease. What is disease? It was telling us that disease is when we go against nature. But it also says if we ascertain the cause, what caused the disease, and eliminate the cause, then God will come in and help us reestablish a right condition within the system so the body can heal itself. Now, we know if we cut our finger, it immediately starts healing. If we burn ourselves, it immediately starts healing. But the mind is a thing that it takes a long time to heal because we don't want the healing properties in the mind that cause the mind to heal. And the only thing that will cause the mind to heal is the Word of God. We need to spend some time with the Lord so He can heal these minds and direct us the way to go. All you have to do is call upon Him. And when you call the word of name of Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they all show up at one time, and they will take care of you. It's just like seven doctors making house calls for free. That's sunshine, exercise, rest, trusting in divine providence, sleep, water. All of that is God's natural healing power, and you will not find those in the medical school. But I'm here to tell you, if you take those and apply them to your life, sickness has to go. What caused the bone to deteriorate? The cause of the bone is sin. The cause of the flesh is sin. And if we eliminate those things from our lifestyle the best that we can, God does the rest. He just only asks us to do our best. He didn't ask us to do no rocket science and all that kind of stuff. Just do our best. Try not to eat between meals. That is a thing that is hurting us. Now, a lot of people eat one meal a day, and that's all day long, just one meal, continue eating. The body needs time to rest between meals. The digestive system must rest. If we're going to eat, we should allow 5 to 5.5 hours, unless, I repeat, unless we have a medical condition. If we have a medical condition and you need those small meals, then please do go ahead and eat those small meals because you want to stay here a little while longer. But if you don't have health issues, 5.5 hours should be between each meal before you eat. You should drink water before your meal. And then after your meal, never drink anything liquid with your meals because you have digestive juices to digest your food. Immediately when you look at your food, those digestive juices start getting all ready for food in your mouth. And they say, here comes some good food. We got to break down this food for digestion so it can nurse the organs. But what we do, we drink before that, and then the digestive juices have already been eliminated. And we don't have anything to break them down. So let's save our digestive juices until we have our meals so it can break our foods down. And see that your body will feel much lighter, much healthier, and most of all, your spiritual component will be much stronger. Vegetables is for eating when you want to strengthen your immune system. Fruit is for eating when you want to clean your system. So if you're cleaning your system in the morning, it might be best to eat your food in the morning. If you clean it in the afternoon, it might be best to eat it in the afternoon. But as for me, I eat my heaviest meal in the morning when I get up, and I eat my lighter meal in the afternoon. But it depends on our lifestyle, as some people have to go to work in the afternoon and work nights. So you say, well, we can't have our breakfast, which is a good thing to have breakfast. So what you do, you reverse that. Breakfast don't mean that you have to have breakfast at 7 o'clock in the morning. Breakfast means the time that you get up. That's when you break in the fast. If you're getting up at 12 o'clock in the daytime from a night work, then you're breaking your fast in. That is your breakfast time. But if you're working from 7 to 3, your breakfast will be early. So I hope by God's grace that someone will get a blessing from the few words that I share with you tonight, that we all may have healthier, stronger bodies. And to leave with you, chronic low respiratory disease is a major cause of death, too. We have 142,000 deaths annual. That's every year. And 80% of those diseases can be prevented. Stroke is the fourth leading cause of death in the United States and a major cause of disability. About 800,000 people in the United States will have a stroke each year. One out of every four of those stroke victims will actually die. And every 4 minutes in the United States right now, every 4 minutes, somebody is having a stroke. Now, that is some heavy statistics to listen to, but it's actually happening. And if someone has a stroke, it is best to get their therapy within 1 year from the stroke time. They might well have a better recovery time. But after a year, statistics says most likely they will be that way for the rest of their life, unless God sent his healing, natural restoring power into their body. It's only so much that the medical doctor can do. And when the medical doctor can't do anymore, then you do your part. And when you do your part and you can't do anymore, God said, I got you. I got you now. I'll take care of you. Because you've been faithful to me, and I'm going to be faithful to you. He promised that in the very beginning of time. If we will obey him, he will not let the disease come upon us, that he come upon the Egyptian. And he also said in Jeremiah 20:17, I think that's what it is, 20:17, even though, first part, even though we have these diseases, if we obey him, he will take them away. Isn't that worth obeying if he's going to take it away? Statistics said if you're a smoker and your lungs are bad, if you stop smoking for 1 year, your lungs is just like a new lung. Isn't it worth stop smoking for a year? To me, it would be worth it. Just for 1 year, my lungs be as if I never smoked before in my life. So back with the body, so wonderfully made. God made it in the image of him. He could have made us in the image of a donkey. He could have made us in the image of a lion. He could have made us in the image of a raven, a bird. But he didn't. I feel so blessed that he made me in his image. And then after he made me in his image, he said, look, I want to come and live in you through the Holy Spirit. I want to live in you. The Holy Spirit want to live in me. But he did tell me, said, Evelyn, I want to live in you, but I will not live in an unclean house. And I said, Lord, what you want me to do? He said, I want you to clean up the body. Don't put anything in your body. Because I want to live in there. Don't put all the junk in your body that you can live with that. Just take me, and I will show you what to do. The Holy Spirit is in you to teach you what to put in your body. Sometimes we know what to put in the body, and we don't do it. I was telling my son one day, he was very small. I said, boy, you better eat that spinach, because I know million people that would love to have that bowl of spinach. He said, but Mommy, I don't like spinach. I said, boy, I told you, I know a million people would like to have that bowl of spinach. He said, Mommy, just tell me one person that would like to have this. I said, oh, my God, be careful what you tell your children, because I couldn't think of one person that wanted spinach at that time. I just wanted him to have that spinach. But I pray that God have given me some encouraging word that might help somebody out there to live a better, healthier life. And what I want to leave with you is to remember your health is your wealth. Do all that you can to preserve it. Thank you so much for listening.
Amen. All right, now you got, look, you said a lot. And it didn't take you long to say all that you said, but I got to go back because I have some questions now, okay? You said a lot, and I tell you something. I don't do this too often, but if I'm not out and about, if I'm at home a lot of times, I will be that one to eat that one meal a day. Just keep going back snacking on little things. But you said that we should, one, eliminate the snacks between the meals, that the body should actually have 5 to 5.5 hours between meals.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes, ma'am. Unless you have a health condition and you have to eat between meals.
And that allows the body to get enough, what, rest, or it gives your body ample time to really digest and break down the food that so it won't clump up in you and fill up your colon with all kind of stuff?
Yes, Doc, it does. Every organ in your body has to rest, like your heart has to rest. When do the heart rest? Between each beat. When do the lungs rest? Between inhale and exhale. The digestive system has to rest. If we eat at 7 o'clock in the morning, and then we eat again at 9 o'clock, that food haven't passed through your system. It's still between your stomach and your colon, and it needs to pass through before the next meal comes. It takes about 5 hours, 4.5 to 5 hours for the food to move through, and the other hour is for the resting time. It has to rest after it moves through. It needs to rest.
Is that why people have indigestion a lot of times? Because the food's not going down fast enough? Because I know that some people eat fast. They don't chew up all their food.
Dr. Greyhouse, that is a problem too. One of the problems, and myself, I have to confess, every time I talk to the Lord, I have to confess to myself. I have a problem that eating fast. But I had to tell the Lord, I said, Lord, help me with this problem because I know this is my problem. So I went on a fast. And so my thing was that when I put food in my mouth, I don't put another muscle in my mouth until everything is out of my mouth. I used to eat, when they get halfway ground up in my mouth, I was poking some more in my mouth. So my goal is now don't eat anything, put anything else in my mouth until all that is out of my mouth, and wait about 5 to 10 seconds before I put anything else in my mouth. And I saw that was a great change in my body. The blowness of the stomach, the indigestion, sometimes it's called acid reflex because it's not so much of the time that we eat it and the food that we eat it. It's the combination of all of it.
Mm-hmm.
So the organs
mm-hmm.
have to rest. So when the organs don't rest, they get tired and they say, hey, I had enough of this. I'm just going to break down.
Okay. And it makes sense because when your body is secreting the digestive juices, some of that has acid in it. It produces that. And if you don't have the food broken down small enough, I could see where it would appear that everything is actually backing up.
Absolutely.
To get stuck between going the exit, the entrance and the exit.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, now let me see. I want to talk about that war. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
You were saying. Mm-hmm.
When the food enters the mouth to the exit time, it should come out at a proper exit time. You know, when we eat, and we eat two meals a day, we should have an exit twice a day. But most cases that doesn't happen because the combination of food we put together into the system. You know, when a baby, when you feed a baby, a baby eliminates.
Mm-hmm.
You feed a baby
mm-hmm.
eliminates. What are you feeding babies? One meal at a time, one thing at a time. But we eat a boatload of food at one time.
Mm-hmm. That's when we go to a buffet and put all
yes.
of that stuff on one
right.
plate, then you eat a little bit
right.
of everything that's on the plate, or Thanksgiving, or the holidays, you know, we're
absolutely.
Notorious. You pile that plate with all kinds of stuff,
absolutely.
And then you just have a smorgasbord on your own plate, and you just eat it. You yes. have three, you know, three variations of meat, three variations of, you have stuffing or dressing, then you have souffle, and then you have, you know, all of this stuff. Then you have the bread on top of that.
I like the way you said that, Doc.
People feel so stuffed.
I like the way you said that. You said we have all this stuff on one plate. That's what it be, this stuff. And added to that, all that stuff, you say, sugar. We have too much sugar. A few years ago, we was eating 5 pounds of sugar a year. In 2010, we was eating 150 pounds. 2014, just last year, is 165 pounds a year. Now, most people eat more than that, but somebody eating my portion.
Mine, too. Oh, my God.
That's a lot of sugar.
Oh, my goodness.
We
That's
get
a lot of sugar. You know, a lot of people, you know, a lot of people don't even realize in a can of Coke is an entire cup of sugar in one can.
Think about that.
I said, I remember I was at the school teaching, and some guys came to do the science fair. And when they came, they were illustrating for the students. And they actually took a Coke, and then they took a Diet Coke. Mm-hmm. And they were telling the children that the Coke had one cup of sugar, and the Diet Coke had a half a cup, right? And so they put a tub of water, and they put the Coke that had the cup of sugar in it, just dropped it in. It sunk straight to the bottom of the container.
Correct.
And the Diet Coke floated. It actually floated because it had half a cup of whatever substitute sweetener, but still, it was some type of sweetener. And so, you know, I have to tell, and I think that's probably why I don't drink sodas today. And I've never been a soda person. I do juices or like Gatorade, Powerade, and I know that has a certain amount of sugar as well. But if you don't see me with a bottle of water, you're going to typically see me with a Powerade or Gatorade.
But
I'm always
Dr. Greyhouse, with that said, 12 teaspoons of sugar in a Coke, that will suppress your immune system for 3.5 days. And if any virus or anything coming towards you within that 3.5, you're going to get it because your immune system.
Wait, I'm trying to write this down. What did you 12, say? How much sugar?
12 teaspoons of sugar is in one can of Coke. And that will suppress your immune system for 3.5 days. So if you say, I don't know how I got that cold, but I got it on Tuesday, and I can't remember what I did. Think back to Tuesday, I drank the can of Coke, and my immune system went down Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Now, it won't be back up until Saturday, but before Saturday get here, I'm going to drink some more sugar, and it's going to be down, down, down.
Ooh.
Keep it down.
Mm-hmm. That's why it takes people so long to get over colds and flu.
Right. And then not only the sugar that we put, sugar in, just like salt in all our food, sugar in all our food. Even if we go to our pharmacy, and I guess it's okay to say this, and buy our cough syrup, I'm not calling it the name brand, but we buy our cough syrup, it is loaded with sugar. And we buying that to get better, but it's loaded with sugar. Now,
with
God's way, it doesn't have all that stuff. The natural way, the herbs, God said the herbs was for the healing of the nation. He meant for us to heal our body with herbs, the leaves of the trees. That's what this he healed our body with. Back in my grandparents' day, that's all grandmama and granddaddy did. We was healed with herbs, the leaves from the tree.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I know we don't do it that way now.
No, we come so far from that because even what we ingest is full of stuff. You know, you have to go and get something that's pure, straight out of the ground, that doesn't have any pesticides and those type things, that doesn't have any steroids. You know, I remember I tell people this and they laugh and they think I'm making a joke, but I'm trying to make a poignant point. And I remember being in high school and my mother used to send me to the store and she said, go get some eggs, a dozen eggs or two dozen eggs. Well, back when I was growing up, you didn't have a choice between a extra small egg, a medium egg, a large egg, and an extra large egg. It was just an egg. But now you get to choose, and I often ask, well, what had the extra large egg? Was it an extra large chicken that produced an extra large egg? How did the egg get to be an extra large egg? And people laugh like, you're so funny, but we have to think about that.
Absolutely.
You know, you go to a certain restaurant, and I remember my brother, he worked at KFC, and he would bring boxes of chicken home. And I remember the size of the drumsticks. Fortunately, their drumsticks feel the same size, but there's some other places you might go to, and it's like it's a super-sized drumstick, almost the size, mid-range the size of a turkey-sized drumstick. Since when a chicken's growing as large as a turkey?
But
we're living in what? Different
times. We're living in perilous times. Jesus is about to crack the sky and come back to receive his children. But the hormones that are in these aren't natural foods and aren't plant-based food is so many steroids. And we feed them to our children, and then our children is developing hips and butts and
exactly. And they're
at an early age.
And
then when they start their cycle at 10 and 11 and 12 years old.
Exactly.
What nature is telling our children that you're ready for motherhood. So listen, audience, our children are not ready for motherhood at 10 and 11 years old. But mothers and fathers, what we are doing, we are forcing them to the motherhood stage by what we're giving them in their food. Now, we may not be aware of the amount of steroids in there, but the USDA allowed us to have so many steroids in our food, and you still can sell it. But we know that it's too much for our children. When I was coming up, I wasn't fully developed. I didn't think that I was 18. But the children and I, they're developed at age of 9 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
I said, this is...
I worked in elementary school, and worked in elementary school for, 7 years. And when I tell you, you don't expect to see a little kid come and ask you, you just let the class go to the restroom. Then she comes back up to you maybe 15 minutes later and says she has to go back to the restroom, where you're thinking, I just let you go to the restroom. And then she tells you she has to go change her hygiene item, and you're looking like, what did you just say?
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm.
It's a sobering revelation when it's happening, all of a sudden, you have to buy deodorant for the babies to wear.
True.
And babies, why would a second grader be having to get a training bra? This kid is 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But it happens, especially when you spend a lot of time running through fast food restaurants and things, and you don't get, you got to be careful where you get your meats and things from, because they are not naturally grown.
And Dr. Greyhouse,
a lot of naturally grown. And we like to eat a lot of what? I eat more fish than anything. And a certain fish I don't touch.
And
Follow
Dr. Greyhouse, along with that said, when the children or the young girls and get pregnant, we go so crazy. And it's hurtful. And we blame the girl for everything. But that's a little boy. You messing with his hormones too. His little hormones start acting up on him too. But we always look at the little girl, but we not fed the little boy the same thing. So they have no control over their body, and we the one did it to the children. Parents are the cause of that. So we said, well, why did they do that? No, not why did the children do that? Why did we do this to our children? And when we have a child, if they're obese, and the law is talking about child abuse, if that's not child abuse, I don't know what it is. When you can feed a child, and a child when 7 years old weighing almost 200 pounds, that's nothing but child abuse. And then you say, well, they just eat too much. Oh, no, you just buy the wrong thing and buy too much.
And you let them indulge in it.
One lady called me. She said, Ms. Lumpkins, my son is gaining so much weight, and he don't eat that much. He just eats chicken and something else, she say. I said, well, how many pieces of chicken she eat? Well, she eat 3 or 4 pieces of chicken. I said, why? Because she want it. I said, do she buy it? Well, I try to cook it because she might get hungry later on and she can eat something else. I said, look, honey, you cook 1 piece of chicken, and when that's gone, I guarantee you she won't go in there and eat no raw chicken if she wants some more. I bet you she won't go there because the other's raw. So you don't do that to your children.
Why didn't she just fill a plate up with vegetables?
I said we do that to our children.
Wow.
But she'll get hungry. Wow. I said, okay, she get hungry. She'll eat those fruits and vegetables if she get hungry. The thing about America, we're not hungry. We want to eat, but we're not hungry.
Right. And that's the thing, too. You know, even with my grandchildren, you know, I watch them when they come over and they that's a little for you. Man, I'm hungry. You're not hungry. You just had a full meal. And you're not going to get anything until I cook again. Now, every now and then I'll let him get a little snack, but that running into the cabinets and the refrigerator every 15, 20 minutes, half an hour, I'm old school. No, you're not doing it because you're not hungry. You're eating because you know it's in there.
Mm-hmm. And that goes along with nutrition, too. We should have proper time to eat. It don't always happen like that, but we should have set time to eat, and we should sit down at a table or somewhere we can relax and eat. No distraction, no television, no radio, none of that stuff. Just eat, enjoy God and your food. And say, God, look what you have prepared, given for me to put in my body, to strengthen my body. This is for me. Now, I be on the run, I be missionary work a lot, and I can't always eat my meals on time. But when I get back to my home base, my meals is going to write right back on schedule, right on time. My bedtime is going to be on time. But when I'm on a mission trip and I can't get there on time, but I go right back when I get back. And my husband...
Well, let's talk about... Go ahead, finish that, and then I want to ask you something else.
I was saying to my husband, he will not eat a peanut unless he's sitting down at the table.
Mm.
Yeah, wow. I said that too. Wow.
You know, I spent 20 years in the military. Sometimes you didn't have a table. You know, sometimes you had to eat standing up. You had to eat in the back of a cab truck.
He appreciate tables now because he was in the military, so he had to eat in the crawl space.
Yes. But let me ask you this. You talk about proper rest with nutrition, and I'm trying to write down, you said you should get to bed and by 10, at least try to be asleep by 10. But, and I think I wrote this right. Did you say the brain works best during the hours of 10 and 2?
Yes, you have a little gland. It calls the hypothalamus gland right between, if you put your hand up between your eyebrows and go straight up, it's about the size of a grain of rice. It's a very small gland. Well, it goes out in the daytime in the sunlight, and it picks up the vitamin D and all that good stuff, and it brings it back in to you. But it can't process it in the daylight. It only has to process it at night. And that's when it processes at night. It has to process in dark. Now, see, we in the Western Hemisphere, we don't have doctors anymore. We don't know what doctors is. Even in our own house, it's not totally dark when we turn on all the light. The phone light on, the oven light on, the microwave light on, the computer light on,
the
night light on, the street light on shining through the window. some like, we don't know what total of darkness is. So it has to be total of darkness. That's why they always tell you, you know, if you want to work in the daytime and sleep at nighttime, sleep in the daytime, to close the window and make your room dark like night. But this is a gland. Mm-hmm. It's processed.
Put those patches over their eyes.
You go to bed before 10 o'clock. Each one of those hours is equal to 2 hours. Before 10 to 12. If you get to bed before 10 to 12, equal to 2 hours. But after 2 o'clock, it's equal to 1 hour. So if you go to bed at 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, you can get up at 2 o'clock, you done did 8 hours of rest. But if you go to bed at 2 o'clock, you probably won't have to stay in there 8, 9, 10 hours, and you're still going to get up tired. Just try to experiment sometime.
Oh, well, I believe you, because I know if I go to bed at 10, usually my body alarm clock wakes me up at 2. Every time. Mm-hmm. My body alarm clock, and I feel rested. But I never
I like the way you said that, Doc, because when we know that we're getting enough rest, one sign is, you don't have to have a alarm clock. If you got to have a alarm clock to get up to go to work, that means that you're not getting enough rest. And when I was working, I had to have an alarm clock every day. But now since I'm not working, I don't have to have an alarm clock. That's when I was working. I was working all kind of hours, everything. God made the bodies to work day and sleep at night. But because the changing of time in our lifestyle, and because of sin, that's what it is. I call it by its right name. Because of sin, we have to work morning shift, evening shift, and graveyard shift. Now, the graveyard shift didn't mean just what it said. You go into your grave much earlier because you're working them out. But sometimes we have no control over that. But even with that, we don't give enough rest because the body's just not designed to sleep in the daytime. It's designed to sleep at night.
Right.
That's the way it was
right.
made.
Right.
But it's
okay,
just shows
let me see.
How,
let me
far
ask you
had, how far we have got away from the Creator's master plan.
In a lot of ways.
Yes.
In a lot of ways.
Yes.
In a lot of ways.
Yes.
Okay, let me see. What was the other one? I got the sugar. I'm trying to look at all my notes here before I open the line and see if anybody has any questions for you. Okay, you said always put the best in. Whatever it is we ingest, make it the best. So in other words, we shouldn't do a lot of junk food, because junk food, that's not our best. It's processed food. The Suzy Q's, the Doritos, the cheese puffs, and those types of things. That's not the best.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's processed, right?
Right.
So we should eat pure things, closer to, like you said, closer to nature, correct?
Yes. Yes, we should, Doc. But sometimes, because of our bodies, we do have a desire for French fries. We do. We just want those French fries. But we can easily make those French fries. Easily make them. And then if we just don't have time to make them, and if you got to buy some French fries, don't go buy the super size. Buy the smaller size. It used to be a time when we bought the small cup, when we bought a large cup of soda now. That's a huge thing. The small cups used to be the large cups back in the day. And the small French fries that we get today, it was a large French fries back in the day.
Right. Now you supersize
too much.
Everything. What
super
in the world?
Size.
Everything. Can I have that super size? What? Oh, my God. Oh, amazing.
I was in a parish, and one of the guys was talking with me that I met in Paris. He said, I came to the U.S., and I came to Atlanta one time in my life. Oh, it's so beautiful there. But then while I was in Atlanta, I had a chance to go out and eat. And they made some spaghetti and meatballs. And the Christmas tree was sitting over there in the corner. He said the meatballs were the size of those balls on that Christmas tree over there. I just laughed at him and everything, and I said, well, he's almost right. And he said, then we went out to get a burger, because I always wanted an American burger. He said, I got that burger, my friend and I, and he looked at that thing. He said, oh, man, I'm not a carnivore. How am I supposed to bite this thing? And then he said, third day, he took him out for pizza because he had heard about all this American food. And they said, buy one, get one free. So the man bought the pizza out. It was a huge, big old circle, he say. And then he said, you ready for the next one? And they brought it out. He said, he was thinking, you get one slice. He said, you get this whole big old piece. He said, can I imagine eating that much food? And he said, and I looked up. I saw all these tall buildings. The buildings were so huge. And then I looked around. I saw all these people. They were so huge, too. I said, now you know why they were. He said, they have the largest people in America I ever seen in my life.
Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. What I'm going to do at this time is I'm going to just open the line and see if anybody has any questions for you. Then if not, I'm going to come back and ask you a couple more, then let you give your closing remarks. Because I've been, you know, I always enjoy hanging out with you anyway. I have much fun with you during the day. But I'm grateful. But I'm going to ask you a couple more questions, but I'm going to open the lines right now to see anybody, because I know people have health issues. You know, the doctors are always diagnosing people with things. You know, of course, I was diagnosed with something major, and I carried that around in me for 17 years, you know, and I just look at it and say, I'm just so grateful to God that he saw where he was going to take,
yes,
you know, what was ailing me, and he was going to, he could have done it in a myriad of ways, and that's the beauty of God, being a healer. God can do it any way he desires, whether he uses a doctor with a scalpel, whether he uses, you know, one of us in a prayer line and we lay hands on somebody, whether he comes in the room in the midnight hour, he is a healer. And because he's a healer, he can use whatever modus operandi he wants to use, modus operandi he wants to use to heal people.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm grateful that I am a benefactor of his healing.
Yes.
You know, and I talk about that in the book, and it was interesting how you were talking about the blood, and I have a chapter actually in the book about sickness and the blood. And I talk about the blood and the medicinal properties that are in the blood, and I even talked about when one of the cysts on my kidneys ruptured and sent urine. Because the cyst on my kidneys had urine and the cyst on my liver had water. And when one of the cysts ruptured on my kidneys, and when they ruptured, it sent urine through my blood. And you know that you become septic. You become a walking vessel of toxin when urine gets in your bloodstream.
A septic tank.
And septic, exactly. And if they don't fix it, you're not long here. And they have to catch it within so much time so they can treat you with antibiotics. And I remember when they were trying to find what it was that was killing me. And they kept telling my daughter, they were running all these tests and they were giving me antibiotics, but the antibiotics were not triggered because they didn't know exactly what was happening with me. So the antibiotics weren't hitting it like it needed to be hit to remedy me. But eventually, you know, they had to give me, you know, blood transfusions and all of this stuff. But at the end of the day, the last treatment that they did, and I remember one of my dear friends, Janice, and I put all that in the book, and she had called to check on me, and God gave her a word when she was praying, and you know, he told her to tell me. And she actually, you know, quoted the scripture for me in Ezekiel 6:16. And she talked about that. And he said, when I passed by you, when I passed by, I saw you. I saw you polluted in your own blood when I was passing by. and I said, live. I saw you polluted in your own blood and said, live. Mm-hmm. And I remember she didn't know that my blood was contaminated. Only God, mm-hmm. God knew.
Yes.
She didn't know.
Yes.
She was calling. But for her to give mm-hmm. me that scripture from the Lord.
Yes.
Say, you're contaminated in your own blood. Live. Amazing to me. And then the next thing I know, they found out what it was, and they start treating it. But then they took some of my own blood, drew this huge cylinder of blood from me. And I tell you, the cylinder had to at least be maybe, let me see, about six inches long, and it was wide. It was really wide. And they took it. I mean, it was almost as wide as, you know how you have those small 10-ounce bottles of water?
Right.
It was, I mean, that big of a round. And I remember them coming in, and I said, what are you going to do with all of that blood? And she told me, she says, listen, we're going to take, the courier's coming, and he's going to take it under lock and key, and he's going to take it up to Piedmont, and they're going to take it into the radioactive lab and do something. And when it comes back, she said, it's going to be pure white.
But you know what happened?
A small tube of white.
You know what happened?
Tell me what happened.
Why it was on the way to the lab and back, God dropped one drop of his blood in there, and it turned it white as snow. God dropped one drop of his blood.
He knows the healing power, see?
Yes.
He knows the healing power in the blood. Because when the blood came back, the blood was white, milky white.
Yes. Yes.
And it was a smaller tube. Mm-hmm. And they took that blood, and she said they had actually pulled out all of my white blood cells from my blood.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, how could you pull the white blood cells out if my blood was contaminated and then turn around and put it back in and I'm healed?
Jesus.
I know, exactly. Oh. That's why I said there's power in the blood, because the blood, I'm telling you, to take the white blood cells from contaminated blood and put it back in, uh-huh. and it heals me. Only God can do that.
And then
the purest part of the blood. The purest part of the blood.
God,
the white blood cells. I'm telling you.
God.
So, you know, but that's why the body heals. It can heal itself.
God
loves us
so much.
You said it. Get all the sin out of the way. Get all the stuff out of the way. And then you have room for the healing virtues.
That's right.
You see?
That's right.
Because of sin, there's sickness. Because there's sickness, there's death. Because there's death, there's the grave. But Jesus came and redeemed us from the curse of the law.
Yes.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
Even though there is sickness in the earth, because there's still sin in the earth. And
yes.
You know, I'm not saying everybody's sickness because they sin. You know, because remember the disciples asked Jesus that. Why is he like that? Because he sinned?
Did his mother sin?
Mm-hmm. Did his mother sin? Who mm-hmm. sinned? And he said, no, some people get sick because it's for my glory now.
Yeah,
he said,
wait, bro, before you go anywhere. Let me tell you now, so I can get the glory out of this.
I'm going to get the glory. You know, and I even looked at it, even when I was going through my 17 years. I looked at it, and I'm thinking, I'm pulling away from the mic because I'm in my chair here. I'm thinking, I came in the world before I even knew what sin was. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And this was part of my genome from the beginning. And then as I began to live and travel in the military and spend all those years, then something else occurred that caused this thing to exacerbate and metastasize. What in the world? You see, unfortunately, I didn't focus on that. What I focused on was
I'm the Lord thy God that healeth thee. What I
That's
focused
right.
on was
That's
God.
That's right.
Healed.
That's right. Uh-huh.
He was bruised for my transgressions. He was wounded for my iniquity.
And I know there's a lot of questions that we could ask. But God said, who are
we
you
could
to
ask
question
a lot of
me?
Questions. But you
who
could
are
ask
you
a myriad of
me?
Questions. You could ask a myriad of questions, and you're not going to, you don't always get what satisfies you.
No, you don't get the
answer. Why you asking the questions, why don't you ask the right question? And what do I have to do?
Uh-huh.
What is necessary for me to do?
I just want
to reap the
Lord.
Benefits uh-huh. of healing. To reap the benefits of healing. What is it that I need to do? You see?
You know, when I was coming up as a child, I always tell this story all the time because it's my testimony. We would go out and play and get cut and scratched and everything. And my mother used to say, don't take the scab off. Don't take the scab off. We start itching, we want to scratch the scab off. She said, don't take the scab off. And it wasn't until I got grown I realized why she didn't tell us don't take the scab off. Because underneath the scab, the healing is taking place. And when his healing is complete, the scab is going to drop off. That's just the way God made it. That's a natural band-aid that God gave us. When we hurt, he gave us that natural band-aid to heal us, to cover the wound, to protect the wound, keep bacteria and germs from getting in it. And when healing is complete, it's going to drop off. Now, sometimes we'll have a scar there where that healing took place, and we'll want to remove the scar. But I said, let my scar stay on me, because every time I see the scar, I know that God's healing is complete.
Mm-hmm.
So let my scar mm-hmm. stay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, amazing. Amazing. All right, let me see if we have any questions. I took everybody off mute. Are there any questions at this time? Any questions from anybody at this time? I know you made it pretty plain for us. But I always ask them if they have any questions. Sometimes they do. And I try to take good notes so I can go over stuff, because sometimes people are shy and they don't want to say anything. So
that's so true. And while they're thinking about their question, you know, Adam and Eve messed up in the garden. But before they was born, God had a plan, because he knew they was going to mess up. So that plan was to fix it when they didn't mess up. And he fixed it for the present, the past, and the future. So if you have people in the grave that you don't even know, God fixed it for them. So you got people living today, it's fixed for them. You got babies that haven't even been born yet, it's fixed. The plan was all right. God completed the earth and his creation. Everything was completed. So we can't add anything onto it or take anything away. You just have to live in his plans. If you want to see him, live in his plan. And
the sometimes book of Ecclesiastes said, nothing can be added and nothing can be taken away.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
All right. Doesn't seem like anybody have any questions. So I got two more, and I'm going to close out. Because we're actually going to finish early tonight, which is good, because people can go to bed and get some sleep, well-needed rest. And see what their body does different tomorrow if they go to bed early tonight. You were talking and you gave some statistics. Let me put everybody else back on mute here. You were talking and you gave some statistics that I thought they were pretty alarming. And you talked about strokes.
Mm-hmm.
And that 800,000 people in the U.S. will have stroke each year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's 200,000 shy of a million people.
Uh-huh.
And every 4 minutes?
Every 4 minutes, one of them would die.
Wow.
On the average, every 4 minutes. Every 4 minutes.
Wow.
Why
do you know why they say statistical data says that they have to get the rehab done within a year?
Because when you have a stroke, the stroke is just like a heart attack. One is at the heart and one is at the brain. And the stroke, the blood vessels burst in your vein. They give you a stroke. And the blood just run all over your brain. And it's very hard for the medical world. They can go in there with their little surgical tube and draw blood out. But when it's running all over everything in the brain, it's hard to wash up all that blood because the blood is on those little soft tissue brains. And if one little speck of blood remains in there, it can paralyze that side. But if you work with it and do your therapy and everything, within a year that you can, those stroke symptoms can be erected. But after a year that blood has sit there for a year, statistics say it's kind of difficult, or very difficult, the word they use. Only God and his miracle could heal that.
Because does the blood actually dry up, or does it stay in a gel type?
Does
it dry
move
up on the radio?
It don't dry up. It's still marsh, but it doesn't move. You know, the blood is moving around all over our body and our brain. But when the brain get ready to pump the blood to the heart, it don't have nowhere to pump it because the blood just standing still. It won't move. So you got blood there, but it won't move. And then when it don't move, it can't get no more life into that side of the body. So the life properties is in the blood. And every time the heart pumps, it's sending blood all over the body. And when it's sending over all over the body, it's sending nutrients all over the body. So when it gets to the brain, because the blood is all scattered all over everywhere, the new blood cannot take nutrients into the brain so that part of the brain can live again, so that part of the body is dead. That's why you walking with the disability side.
Right, because they usually it usually impairs the person's experience. Wow.
Yes.
Amazing. All right, sis. I think I've asked enough questions. Anybody that missed anything or came into the broadcast a little bit later, you can always go back in 5 minutes, couple minutes actually, maybe five at most, after the broadcast has concluded. You can go back and listen to the archives. It'll be right up under the feature show, so it should be the second show that you see when you go to Blog Talk Radio. On the Blog Talk Radio page, you can either go straight to Blog Talk Radio and type in Blog Talk Radio /D Great House, or you can go onto our website and you can just click on the homepage or either one of the pages that you're on when you're visiting our website and just click on Blog Talk Radio. It will bring you to the Blog Talk Radio page. You can select, I think we're up to 68 shows now on there. So there are some great, great shows that are on there, previous shows from 2011 to 2012. And then, of course, I had to take a brief hiatus, but we're back, praise God. And so, woman of God, I'm going to let you make your closing remarks, and then we're going to say goodnight to our guest and you have an open invitation to come back anytime you would like to share some more things with us as you do your travels around the country and around the world. Now, I know you told me earlier that you had written two vegetarian cookbooks as well, so when you do your closing remarks, if you could tell the listening audience how they can get in touch with you. So if they want to purchase a book, or if they just want to call you or talk to you or email you, so if you would please leave all of that for our listening audience, I would greatly appreciate it. You know, I love you, of course, and just keep doing what you're doing, because I know I've learned a lot tonight from you just sharing with me, especially about my immune system. I'm going to start watering down this Powerade and Gatorade. So I just bless the Lord for you and your life and the work that you are doing for God's kingdom to prepare these vessels to be right so we can do great things for the kingdom of God. So at this time, you can do your closing remarks, and please don't forget to tell us where the listening audience, where they can find you.
Okay, Doc, thank you so much for allowing me to come on this afternoon and share these brief moments with you. And I would like to leave with the listening audience, as we was talking about nutrition and the benefit and the, of nutrition, just one or two statistics. We can take an apple, and we'll get about 80 calories. And an apple is real delicious, and they said that if we eat an apple a day to keep the doctors away, you're only getting 80 calories. But we can take that same apple and turn it into the apple pie, and it becomes 480 calories. I said something about potato chips and french fries. We can take a baked potato and get approximately 120 calories, and sour cream and butter and get 390 calories. And you can take that same baked potato and turn it into a potato chip, that one potato, and you get 1,000 calories. You see, when we process this food, take it out of the natural state that God gave us, then it becomes destruction to our bodies. We add all this pain into our body. It has been said we're going to do something good over and over again. We should expect a different result. Let's take the poison, expensive poison, out of a person's diet. What happened from birth to old age, never experienced the real natural taste. Our tiny taste buds have been so degenerated and polluted by unnatural artificial season and stimulating food that most of us are unable to appreciate the fine, delicate flavor of the natural food. We must be fixed, mashed, boiled, stewed, pickled, flavored, creamed, roasted, greased, vinegarated, toasted, roasted, oil, beaten, spicy, peeled, steamed, colored, hash, mashed, broth, baked, preserved, salted, dried, fried, pepper, smoked, and the list go on and on before we think it is fitting for our human body to consume. We think we know we can fix the food better than the Creator himself have fixed the food. He cooked our food by nature. You would never have to cook a walnut. You would never have to cook a pecan. You would never have to cook an apple. You would never have to cook a tomato because God, natural son, cooked it. And nature is the best cook in the world. So if you need more information, you can go to my website, AbundantLifeHealthAssociation.com. That's AbundantLifeHealthAssociation.com. Or you can reach me at 770-996-6049. And, of course, a P.O. Box mailing, P.O. Box 490247. P.O. Box 490247. And I would love to share some information by some other subjects as we can share this information together with others, because I believe the information that have been shared tonight and of the previous show is not for us to keep to ourselves, but go out and share with somebody else so they can have a better life, but most of all, so they can be ready to meet their Jesus when he shall come. Have a good night, and thank you so much for listening.
Sis, I love you. I bless the Lord for you and your life. We're going to have to work out where you come back at least once a month, if nothing else, for like 5-10 minutes. Just give us a nugget. And give us an update and see how we're doing. Hallelujah, because I'm committed to do better myself. Hallelujah, I'm looking for, you know, to keep my lifestyle of fitness and health so I can be strong when God sends me out to his vineyard to work and to encourage his people. You know, it's hard to encourage somebody when you're going through,
yeah.
You know, because you didn't adhere, you know, to the standard. God always gives us what we need. We just have to pay attention. You never know what nuggets he puts around us in our lives. So we just thank the Lord tonight for everything that he has done. And we extend many, many blessings to God's people. God, continue to keep us and bless us. Preserve us, Lord, in your sight. We thank you for your eternal wisdom that you have garnered to each of our lives, oh God. We thank you for all the gifts, the presence
of your people that you have placed in our lives. Let us use what you have given us tonight to live and not die, and declare the works of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Sis, I love you. You got to work out when you'll come back to see me. Tell everybody that follow you that they can come on to Blog Talk Radio and they can hear you on the broadcast. It'll be now in the archive for the ages. God bless you and keep you. I love you, and I'll talk to you soon. All right?
Be blessed, dear.
And thank you again for coming to the show. Good night, everybody. Get you
Good
some
night.
Real sleep now. Good night.
Good night.
My God is awesome.
Come on and lift your voice and testify.
Awesome.
Come on and say, He's holy. God is awesome, heals me when I'm broken.